Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Mattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com. Allison, do you know what April 18th is?
I have a sneaking suspicion.
Yes, it is Velociraptor Awareness Day, or at least that's what the internet tells us. It's kind of picking up as an internet sensation kind of a deal, kind of like one of those meme things. It's all over Facebook. There's a few pages up about it and lots of followers. People are getting excited about it. They're friending it. They're saying they like it, and other people are liking that, you know, all the stuff that goes on.
People are pretty into the raptors. Now, I don't think they have any other dinosaur appreciation days, do you?
No, not that I know of. This is special because the Velociraptor is a special dinosaur. This is a hip dinosaur. This is not a Diplodocus or anything. Stegosaurus.
And a lot of people think Velociraptors are pretty special, so we've decided to vote this podcast to said dinosaur.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about some of the awesome things about the Velociraptor that you should be aware of for your Awareness Day. Most people are familiar with Velociraptors pretty much from Jurassic Park. I think that's really what set it off. Michael Crichton's novel and the subsequent at least three films. More on the way. But basically, this is the smaller dinosaur in Jurassic Park. Not the tiny one, but the smaller villainous dinosaur. They're they would tend to be like 5 feet long, stand, depending on how they're stooping, like 3 feet tall or up to like five, you know? Sort of a longish neck,
long tail,
kind of an evil birdish head, not super tiny front arms, but, you know, some smaller front arms. And then their feet terminate in these 3.5-inch retractable claws, like huge talons. And that's where really all the fun is, because they're like tearing into things with those, right? Through the whole movie. And also in the movie, they're super smart, right? They're opening doors and Sam Neill's talking about how they're as smart as chimpanzees. And then there's that awesome scene where like the really, cool hunter is gonna shoot one, right?
No, he's not.
Yeah, because what he thinks he's going to walk into, right into range, and then something rustles in the bushes by him. And when, what does he say?
Clever girl.
Right. And then he gets eaten because he's so cool that the moment before he's eaten alive by a dinosaur, he's like, oh, she's pretty smart. You know, like, who does that? Who has that moment of clarity before they're eaten alive? Nobody. But anyway, it's that moment especially has really taken off among Velociraptor fans. You can get a shirt that says Clever Girl and has a Velociraptor head on it.
Yeah, so are they that clever? I'm not sure that they are. And that's our first cool awareness fact for Raptor Awareness Day. How smart are they? Well, paleontologists and some other folks like to use a measurement called the encephalization quotient. And an encephalization quotient is a way to tell an animal's intelligence from the size of its brain, roughly. And why would we use this technique? Well, because, I mean, we can't really test the intelligence of dinosaurs now, can we?
We can't put them in a cage and give them color blocks or anything.
Yeah, so the EQ tends to compensate for the fact that large animals tend to have proportionally smaller brains than small animals, regardless of intelligence. And the Velociraptor had an EQ of less than 0.2. So what does this mean to you? Probably not much. I mean, I'm not sure that you're talking about EQs on a regular basis at the dinner table. So to give you some guidelines for that, humans roughly have an EQ of about 7. Your dolphins, pretty smart creatures, they have an EQ of about 4 or 5. And chimps, maybe about 2.
And once again, Velociraptor, 0.2.
Yes, 0.2. But in their favor, I will say that the Velociraptor may have been roughly comparable to the intelligence of an ostrich. And I have immense respect for the ostrich.
Yeah, we read a bunch about them recently for the Life TV show that's going to be airing, or is airing, on Discovery.
So, Clever Girl, maybe not so much.
All right. Well, our second awareness fact is the idea of a feathered raptor. Now, in Jurassic Park, they do not have feathers. They're very leathery looking, you know.
Yeah, kind of that greenish brown.
Yeah, you're more typical dinosaur color scheme. Well, paleontologists at the American Museum of Natural History and the Field Museum of Natural History documented the presence of feathers in Velociraptors in 2007. And if I back up for a second, I need to stress that the first Velociraptor was found in 1971 in Mongolia. All right. In 2000, this 2007 study was looking at one that they'd unearthed in Mongolia in 1998. And they found clear indications of quill knobs. And these are places where the quills of secondary feathers, the flight or wing feathers of modern birds, were anchored to the bones with ligaments. All right? Quill knobs are also found in many living bird species and are most evident in birds that are strong flyers. So nobody's saying that the Velociraptor could fly. Basically, the idea here is that they definitely had some feathers, and they probably just evolved from a winged flying form of dinosaur, and then eventually became more dependent on hunting on the land. But they likely kept the feathers around for other reasons.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe to attract some ladies.
Right. Always good to have some colorful plumage for that. Temperature control. The Roadrunner, the actual Roadrunner, not the cartoon Roadrunner, actually uses its feathers to regulate temperature by using them to determine how much heat it absorbs from the sun. It also could have used them while running. The ostrich actually, you know, the ostrich has these little bitty, seemingly pointless wings and these enormous legs. What actually uses those little wings to steer and sort of balance itself while it's running at high speeds. And they think that might have been a possibility with the Velociraptor as well.
I wonder if we should call this the Ostrich Awareness podcast instead.
I think Ostrich Awareness Day is
in the future.
Yeah, it's a little early for that, but one day.
So let me give you awareness fact number 3. Velociraptors perhaps were warm-blooded. And why might we think they were warm-blooded? Well, because they were high-energy hunters, and they also had the presence of feathers that Robert just talked us through. But another key thing is that they may have had these high-powered oxygen pumps, right? Because if you're going to go on this, you know, super intense hunting expedition, what are you going to need? If you're going to chase down your prey, you're going to need oxygen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to have an excellent respiratory system. So there were a bunch of researchers out of Ohio University who published a study in Nature, and they were theorizing that these high-powered oxygen pumps in raptors could have boosted dinosaur metabolism, enabling meat eaters like, you know, your T-Rex, your raptor, and others to be, you know, these very effective and active hunters.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this comes down to air sacs in the bones and they were able to, they observed these air sac systems in like 200 different modern birds, and then saw some of the same patterns with velociraptors.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So for awareness fact number four, we're going to come back to those 3.5-inch retractable claws. Previously, paleontologists thought that this, I mean, because you look at a giant claw and you think, like, gashing. It just looks like something you would just gash into something with and, like just rip in, 3-foot abdominal gash, you know, blood gushing out, right? Well, some researchers at the University of Manchester in the UK, led by Phil Manning, actually built a robotic claw based on the fossil of a velociraptor.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like a robotic velociraptor arm. With a claw. Another group did a very similar thing with a saber-toothed tiger. I think they did like a whole, there's like a whole special about this, a TV special, where they built like this robot thing on the end of a crane with saber-toothed teeth, and they would take it up to a dead cow and like just ram it in. And weren't you telling me?
I never saw that. Yeah, they did do one for sharks.
Wow.
Where they simulate the shark's bite to try and figure out how it works. And
there's a scary amount of research going into how to build like robot killer animals. But the whole purpose of this course is to actually test out this claw on an actual, I think in this case it was a pig. Yeah, a dead pig. All right, so they would use hydraulics to drive it into the side of the pig, trying different velocities, mimicking a kick. They found that the claw would only really result in a puncture. So this led to this theory that the velociraptor actually used these things to grip onto the prey. They would jump onto its back, like some sort of weird dinosaur cowboy, I guess, or like cheetahs actually do when running down an ostrich.
Right.
So they would just jump on, dig those retractable claws into its side to hold on, and then just start biting. It just inflict a large number of wounds. And at this point, either they bring the animal down, or another theory is that they just wound it enough, and then they jump off, and then they just follow the animal until it bleeds to death, or it bleeds out so much that they can just pick it off.
Oh, it's like the Komodo dragon.
Exactly.
That follows its prey for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And weeks.
Yeah, we podcasted about that a few weeks back.
Yeah, we love Komodos. And velociraptors.
Yeah, velociraptor's pretty awesome. I mean, I love the Komodos, but these guys really have them licked.
So Phil Manning, the same guy who was working on that robotic claw, evidently had a lot of time on his hand. And he evidently is a lover of velociraptors, too, because he took the trouble to find out if this hand claw that he made could support the dinosaur's weight when it was climbing.
And this is awareness fact number five.
Yeah, awareness fact number five. Thank you, Robert. And Manning suggested that the velociraptor used its climbing ability to kind of lurk in the trees and perch in the trees. And then, you know, along comes some unsuspecting prey and whammo.
Just leaps right out of the trees. I'm thinking we're going to see that in Jurassic Park 4. There's going to be a scene where a guy's out there hunting the velociraptors, and he's looking around, where are they, right? And then he looks up, and then what is it? Nothing but velociraptors, just crowded in the trees like pigeons.
Clever girls.
Yep, and then they come down on him.
Yeah, so Manning got the idea for velociraptors hanging out up in the trees thanks to the Microraptor, which is a tiny dinosaur in the same family, but which lived 50 million years before. And it also had 4 feathered limbs to help it glide down from trees. But not everyone is really sold on this climbing ability.
Right, yeah. Basically, the counter-argument made by some paleontologists is that there weren't going to be as many trees around that the velociraptor would be able to climb, and that while it may have had some ancestors that climbed trees and jumped down on things, that that it was really just using these more to anchor itself on its prey and bite, like we were talking about in fact number four.
So the trees couldn't support its weight. So, I mean, maybe like a sequoia, maybe if it climbed
a
sequoia.
Yeah, I'm guessing like maybe your thicker trees. Either way, it's a fantastic mental image. So, April 18th, if you go to the Facebook page for, just do a Facebook search for Velociraptor Awareness Day, you'll find that they have a number of different recommendations for ways to celebrate. Some of the ones we particularly like, there's one where you just read up on the latest info and be prepared to hold impromptu seminars on the streets.
And I would just modify that to your break room, if necessary, your elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe while you're driving, to work, you just roll down your window and talk to the guy next to you who stopped at the stoplight.
Give them the facts that we mentioned here, do a little independent research on the net, and start, whipping out your dinosaur facts on the train. People will love you.
There also was another favorite that Robert and I liked, and this one was dress up as a velociraptor.
Yeah.
You know, hold some mock attacks throughout the day to really...
Especially in the workplace.
Yeah, feel free to test out that climbing ability thing and tell us how that works out for you. And maybe that can add to Phil Manning's body of research. Perch up in the trees.
Mm-hmm. Because really, we're unprepared for it. Here at work, we do regular fire drills and all. But when's the last time we had a velociraptor drill? Never. Never had it. One could just come in here and just have the pick of us.
It sure could. Which is why Velociraptor Awareness Day is such a good idea.
It is. It's an excellent idea. So, if you're planning to celebrate in some way, shape, or form on April 18th, tell us about it. Are you going to have a Velociraptor party? Great. Take some photos. Shoot them our way. We'd love to see them.
Yeah, if you're going to dress up as a Velociraptor, please be sure
to
send us the photos.
Yes, definitely.
And of course, you know how to do that. Send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.